Welcome to the Order of Time. Dear visitors, today I would like to talk to you about the concept of consciousness. Consciousness is an essential element of our existence. We cannot do without. We have a consciousness of the world. We have a consciousness of ourselves. We are aware of ourselves and aware of the world. We are aware of a difference. There is a difference between a subject and an object. This difference defines our consciousness. This consciousness is an issue under debate, because we can take different positions of philosophy concerning this subject. We can say, okay, if we suppose there is a subject and an object, we have a division, a twofoldness, a type of duality, which gives us problems. Classically, we are a bit afraid of developing a world of our own, separated from that objective world. So a strong scientific argument says there shouldn't be such a difference between the subject and the object. No, it's all a part of molecules in play. Molecules are interacting, and thus we human beings are a gathering of molecules, and that's it. And that's all simply a part of the world that is moved by time, and that's it. This is a scientific point of view, and it's not untrue, but it's a certain restricted type of logic. There are different in philognosy, the love of knowledge we defend at this side. We say there are different types of logic. There's not just simply the scientific logic, which is a reductionist approach in defense of a certain oneness, afraid of a certain split between the subject and the object, between a world imagined and a world that is real. Now we should attend to the real world and skip that imagination, according to the scientific logic. And okay, this is a viable approach, useful for fixing cars and having other contraptions to deal with the material world. To be aware of the lawfulness of the material world as a single oneness. This monistic approach, which is not uncommon in the scientific department. But if we are honestly talking about this, it is difficult not to speak of these two agents of the objective world and the subjective world. So consciousness is always there because of a subject and an object, because of this duality. But because we have different opinions about this, like having a monistic or a dualistic vision of being present as self-aware people, we have a third world apart from this world of the body and this world of the self that would be controlling or conscious of this body. There's also a world of books, of literature, of culture about this consciousness. This world tells us how to think about it. This is how we fix ourselves in books and in religions and in philosophies, in political opinions about, for instance, this concept of consciousness. So consciousness, if you talk about consciousness, we have these three worlds to count with. And that's one vision of the concept of consciousness. Another element, another notion that must be taken care of in connection to this concept of consciousness is the concept of God. Classically, if we study the scriptures, is the concept of God associated with three basic qualities, of which consciousness is one of the three qualities. The other two qualities are called eternity and bliss. Bliss is the quality of happiness, quality of satisfaction we experience if we turn away from the duality of the world, from that strife and fighting that happens in the world. The material world is not really represented as a stage of conflict. We are always in conflict with our material interests. This is a biological given fact that living beings struggle for their survival and fight each other for their territory. And this is a cause of misery. This is a cause of conflict, of war in the world. And to turn away from this war, to turn away from the conflict in the outer world, we look inside and we see there, when we believe in God, a self that is of consciousness, that is eternal. It doesn't age, it is not born, it is always there, not just for myself, but for everyone. And it is blissful. It is unified. There is no conflict anymore. There's the unified self, which is happy to be above this conflict in the dual world. So this is another concept of non-duality. That is the simple one and only reality of God. That would be the internal world. But it's not as simple as that. We cannot turn away from the world and say, now we found God. Because if we really look inside, we see that this harmony, this happiness, this situation of non-conflict is not just there at the inside, it is also there at the outside. The outside world is not just conflict. It is just as well a marvelous paradise of happy creatures living together in a natural harmony. You cannot just say it is conflict and turn away from it and say it's bad. No, nature is a blissful reality, and we must be honest. We can enjoy this world, we can enjoy this life very much as a given gift, as a creation of God, of harmony, bliss, and eternity, and consciousness. So our concept of consciousness is simply not embedded between a self and a world with a culture. No, it is just as well the inner and outer reality of happiness, of consciousness relating to happiness, and consciousness relating to that eternal, constant, non-changing, immutable self. So this is also consciousness. The self relating to the world that is as well inside and outside in harmony. And this is a vision. The vision of God is the vision of harmony, which is associated with the concept of order. Order in the world. Not the bad conflict order, conflictuous order, but the order that is in harmony, that is gives us a pleasant change, a pleasant alternation of different realities of sun and moon and stars, who together make up a kind of clock of God, which gives us certainty. And this is a natural law defining our paradise, and we find harmony and bliss in this, the quality of God in this. So Philognosy, and the love of knowledge we defend at this side, is not an escapist philosophy of a subjective self that wants to turn away from the world. We acknowledge this as an exercise of meditation, but in the end we say, no, we have different visions, and combining these visions, we cannot deny a world that is that is there in harmony, that is there of order. So, but if we turn back to this scientific vision and say, well, that's a lot that you can say that all, it is very nice, but I'm still simply a material person in a material world, and that's it. This world is simply matter, and matter needs a lot of sweat to appreciate it or to satisfy your hunger and to have a reasonable life. So this misery is inevitable, and that is all there is. That's just matter. We have to suffer the fact that this matter is always in decay and always in conflict. So purely from this such a reductionistic, materialistic vision, we can say, no, this is not really true either, because this material world is we have to think about it properly. If we look at the material world, it is classically, from the classical philosophy and also from the religious point of view, is it divided in certain elements. And there are basic elements recognized in this material reality of ours. Our reality is as such divided in earth. We have this earth element. That it is the concrete material substance we see around us in different types of qualities. There's gold and there's iron, and there's different qualities of matter. We recognize in their atomic qualities, but all these different qualities together we call the earth element, the solid matter. It is earth, but next to that earth, there's also the absence of that solid matter, which we call air. It is the substance between the material forms. This is what we call air. So we have these two basic elements evidently before our eyes, of earth and air. But there's another element in this game, in this display, this manifestation, and that is the element of light, of fire, of heat. And this is a third element. There's not just matter, there's not just earth, opposed to air. No, there's also the element of fire. Fire heats things up, and we have it outside, but also inside our bodies. We have a certain kind of fire inside, the fire of digestion. We are a kind of matter, which is a fire. We have heat inside. We have body heat and a digestive system to burn more or less the food down to the basic elements we need to develop our bodies, to grow cells and stay alive that way. So we cannot live and think about the material world without this element of fire. So we have earth, air and fire. But there's also a fourth element, and that is, very important. It is not earth, it is not solid, it is not air, it is not really absent, an emptiness. It is not fire, it is the opposition, opposite element of fire, and we call this element water. We as living beings consist of 80% of water. Water we see in the sky in the form of clouds, and that is vaporized water. We see water in seas and in oceans, and in rivers and in rain. And it is an indispensable element of life. We consist of water, and we need water to stay alive. And the presence of water anywhere is an indication of life. So water is an essential element to speak of our existence in the world, to speak of the world altogether. It is inside, it is outside. So you could say, we are fire, in water concerned with matter in the midst of air. So these are the four elements that we see directly before us. Yeah, water, fire, air, and earth. So these four elements are complemented with a fifth element. In classical philosophy, there's these four basic elements, but there's also a fifth element, and that's the element of ether. And this is an element debated, because what is that ether? Do we need such an element of ether? Einstein is in his early days considered it not necessary to speak about it, as we discussed before. But later Einstein said, "We can impossibly speak about space without discussing the material qualities, without the matter in it." It is so that if we look at the material world, that we see a sun rising and setting, we see a moon changing its phases. These changes are ordered. This has a definite order. This order is determined by a force which you call gravity, and which is keeping everything on its place. As such, it is a field covering space, defining the order of time. So ether is the force field of gravity defining the order of time. This is essential when we discuss this subject of consciousness. We speak of consciousness relating to this element of the ether, because the ether is associated with the integrity of the material universe. And we as persons are material integrities, are ethereal beings held together by a force field which defines the order of the material we are dealing with. The ether outside is defining the order of the world around us. This order, we as we saw, is a part of this notion of happiness and security and certainty that we think of when we speak of the Word of God. Consciousness as such is the awareness of the difference between the inside and the outside, between the ether element relating to everything it contains, the matter, the fire, the earth, the fire, the water, and the air. It is all contained with a certain force field, keeping everything together. So this formative agent of the ether, which is conditioning the entire material reality, is an indispensable element of nature, which defines the consciousness. If we look at the classical scriptures speaking, especially the Hindu scripture, the Purana. In the Purana, this element of ether is equated with the godhead of Vishnu, the god of maintenance. We are maintained by the ether, says this knowledge. Because Vishnu is to be considered as the representative of the ether, and the ether as the manifestation of Vishnu. You cannot separate the two. In fact, the ether is a concept of God that is very close to the concept of God, which explains a lot about this word of God. It is omnipresent, it is creating, it is also defining the integrity of our mindfulness, of our knowledge. So we know by this element. We have consciousness by this element, because it is the integrity relating to which everything is arranged and ordered and controlled. And we are identified with that element. We are identified with that order, that control. This is also consciousness. The difference between the four basic elements and the ether. So we cannot afford really to deny this concept of ether if we want to discuss and consider ourselves as conscious beings, as matter in suffused with consciousness. We are this integrity. We, in this context, we speak of the person. We are not a person if there wouldn't be the element of the ether. We wouldn't be an integrity, a soul aware of the world, if there wouldn't be the ether. If there wouldn't be the ether, there wouldn't be cyclic time, and there wouldn't be creation. There would only be a cloud of molecules endlessly expanding in space. So this is what we defend at this site. Consciousness, in all its interests of a self, a world, and a culture, is defined as two forms of awareness, two forms of consciousness, which we call the natural consciousness of that knowledge which is in respect of the ether, and the cultural consciousness, which is too reductionistic, which materialistically denies this existence of this force field because it cannot really be seen directly, although it can be derived, inferred from the movement of the sun and the moon and the stars, which is undeniably truly the effect of a force field. So the ether is a fact, not just a theory, it's a fact. And it's not just me saying this, also Einstein said this when he was older. In 1920, he gave a lecture in Leiden in Holland, where he said that the ether exists. Of course, the ether is a force field controlling the material reality, and we cannot possibly speak of space without mentioning the material qualities of this force field. So the ether exists also according to Einstein, but many deny this because they are attached to this older Einstein, this Einstein when he was young, who said we cannot really prove this experimentally, so is it useful to consider this element any longer? At first he said no, but later on he corrected himself and said, I was too radical. We need this element of the ether, and at the order of time we say, from this element of ether we realize that we are of two types of consciousness, a natural consciousness and a cultural consciousness. And this is of influence the way we deal with time. And so we have a natural timing of cyclic reality, which is in perfect respect of all the laws of nature and the dynamics of nature. And we have this cultural consciousness, which simply throws away tables in the dustbin, because that would be too difficult or too imaginative, because it cannot really be experimentally proven. But that is not our problem, since we simply know what we talk about and we can see how the force field of that ether affects the material reality. It gives us the order of God, the certainty of our consciousness aligned with the natural order. So this is the essential point we make this time concerning the consciousness of time. I thank you for your attention.